Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We are here to salute our WPIAL softball team of the week. And there he is, the venerable Harry Rutherford, the head coach of the Elizabeth Forward Warriors. Once again, one of the top teams in Class 4A, off to a tremendous start. Coach Rutherford, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Don. Glad to see you and talk to you again. It's been a couple years since we actually were face-to-face, but it's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's always my pleasure. We were sort of talking before we got going here. You said, when I asked you, you said, oh, I'm great, except for this weather. Obviously, it's been an issue, especially the last 2 weeks. Wet weather. Making it, unless you have are blessed with an artificial turf field, really tough to even get any sort of semblance of practice in. I mean, that's it's typical spring here in Western Pennsylvania. What is your job as head coach to preparing or getting your team ready for when the weather does cooperate? On these kind of weeks or these multiple days in a row of just nasty weather?
Well, the kids do get bored doing the same thing in and out every single day in the gym. So we try to break it up a little bit, make it a little more fun with them, maybe cut the hours down that they're not in there, especially repeating drills that they've been doing conditioning and for 3 months now.
Yeah.
We try to break that up. We have gone to classroom and doing some mental stuff and talking over situations, food preparations, those type of things, just to make it a little different so that they're not fielding the ball off a gym floor, throwing a ball in a gym, doing the same thing day in and day out. It does become boring to them. They kind of lose interest, and of course we don't want them to get into a bad habit doing anything like that, so we do try to very often do different things just to make it a little bit different than just a steady hit the ball, field the ball, throw the ball type thing.
I'm a big fan of something you said there, because again, I don't think people realize how limited you are when you're indoors as compared to when you do get a chance to practice and or play outdoors, and trying to avoid the kids getting bored, the kids losing focus. The thing that you mentioned is working on the mental aspect and almost taking them into a classroom setting and talking over certain situations, because unless you're blessed with a team that is really, really on the ball and are quote unquote students of the game, there are situations that pop up that you can't make an immediate call as a coach that the player has to respond to, that if they're not schooled on what to do, sometimes it looks kind of silly when a person's sitting there holding the softball, not knowing where to go with it. And so attacking that mental aspect is very interesting.
Yeah, we do that. We actually purchased, I think it's called Winning State Softball Championships, and we actually make classroom assignments. They're to reach a couple chapters, and then we come in the coaching staff. I have one of the assistant coaches actually who's a teacher in the city. He actually conducts that class, and we just go over these mental aspects of the game and let them talk it through. A lot of times they don't know why they make errors and they do get nervous. And we kind of just tell them that everybody nervous. I said, and you know, I'll speak up and say, there's not too many times that I don't come into a game and have a little bit of nerves going, especially when we're playing an arch rival. You know, I basically told them every time we play Mount Vernon, it's, you know, we know we're going to have a fight on our hands, right, regardless of how good or how bad the squads are. It's just that rivalry game where you know everybody's going to get up, including the coaching staffs on both teams. So, you know, I think when they hear the coaches sometimes getting nervous, and they feel a little bit better about their being anxious. And if they make a mistake, they know that's going to happen, and the coach is not going to go ape on them. But we are going to address it. And
nothing wrong with the butterflies, right? You're out there. It's almost like you're out on a stage performing a play. You're out there performing the to the best of your athletic abilities, whether it be two fans or 20 fans or 200 fans. That's really not the point, but you are out there, and the sharper you are mentally to the do's and don'ts, the rules and regs of the game, when you have to make that split second decision, you're in a better position to do so.
Exactly. And then when you covered it at the end of the game and not trying to embarrass them, at least in our post game interviews with each other, it's more the kids telling me, you know, because I'll come up and say, okay, what'd you think of the game today? And they'll immediately, rather than me pointing out their mistakes, they're the ones that point out the mistakes they made.
That's good.
How they plan on attacking that. So I'll have one of them come up and say, well, I know I made a base running mistake, and I should have gotten further out. The ball dropped. I wasn't prepared for that. Then I got thrown out. So we make sure that the players have an input, and that way it's not us yelling at them. It's them bringing it to the themselves and to the other ball players that, okay, I can discuss this, and the coach is not going to be really mad at me, and I know that I made the mistake. This is what we have to do to address it and get better at it.
Mistakes, like you said earlier, mistakes are going to happen. They make them. Guys who are getting paid gajillions of dollars a year are out there making mistakes. It's what's impressive is when they come to you, not only point out the mistake, but point out, you know, the fact that they have learned from it.
Yes, and how they're going to address it and hopefully not do it again.
Yeah.
So we've had a great bunch of kids that are doing that. You know, there's some extremely talented girls on this team. Skill levels are beyond belief, but there's also 12 or 13 that can contribute to the team all the time. And it's a blessing for me because it's making, I don't know if it's making my job easier or harder. Normally, if you only have six that can play, you know that they're playing. I've actually probably have 23 kids that contribute. I have a great JV squad and a great program here. The kids are really, really talented, and it makes it difficult for me to say who the starting nine are, but we've got 12 that are contributing highly. At a high level for this team, and I have no problems plugging in kids anytime, anywhere.
That's got to make you specifically and your staff feel awesome, because good programs do start at the top and work their way down, and the really strong programs, no matter what the sport, it filters down, and that it builds that general excitement amongst the young high schoolers, amongst the middle schoolers, even the grade schoolers, that I see the success that our varsity program is having. I want to be a part of that in X amount of years. And the fact that at various levels, these young warriors are having all kind of success really, I think, is a big time credit to you and your staff.
Well, I have to pat them on the back. I've got one of the best staffs in the WPIL. There's a lot of years of coaching experience there, and they take a lot off my plate. And we're all on the same page, it seems, that all I have to do is if there's a mistake in the field or a mistake base running, I just turn my head and look, and one of the assistant coaches will go, "I got this." And, you know, they'll address it with the ball player, and it's not coming from the head coach all the time. So, you know, I don't have to play the good guy, bad guy. It's taken care of. And then we may address it later as a team and not highlight it and embarrass a ball player. But it's always brought to their attention by someone if there was a mental mistake or a mental lapse.
Before we talk about this past week and the success so far this season. You have one of the best players in the district. Shelby Telegdi, outstanding pitcher, has been for Elizabeth Forward during her entire scholastic career. You've sort of been on the other side of having going up against great pitchers and Bailey Partial, Bell Vernon, and recently Peyton List of Beaver. Boy, I mean, this game is much more offensive than it was 15, 20 years ago. But, man, having that stud in the circle is pretty huge, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, I mean, we talk all the time with the pitching staff. And fortunately for me, I do have a pretty decent pitcher in each grade level. So I'm not hurting and have to live or depend on Shelby all the time. Shelby's getting most of the work because she's the senior, but there's a junior right behind her that's pushing, and a sophomore that has actually more speed than Shelby, but doesn't have the control. And I have a freshman that is the same, has more speed than Shelby, but doesn't have all of Shelby's abilities to hit corners. Now, that's great for me because that's pushing my retirement way down the road. That, you know, we're looking that we will or should have studs coming onto the mound for the next 3, 4, 5 years. And wow, the middle schoolers, you know, they're looking up to these kids, and
sure,
we send Shelby down and work with the middle school team.
Nice.
And so our pitchers go down and work with middle schoolers, and actually we run a camp in the spring and in the fall for the rec league as well. I take the whole team in, and the whole team works with the rec program. So we spend in the fall, we do a whole week with the rec kids, pitching, fielding, hitting the whole ball of wax. So the whole team is there in uniform, and we're really working with the community. So the community kids get to see what the high school team's about. And again, like you said, they're out there saying, I want to be like them.
Yeah.
And that's just it's a great plan for me.
Yeah. Well, it's smart. I mean, you know, you're now, I think people listening, hopefully other coaches are writing down these tips, because there are so many things, buttons you're pushing that are the right things to do. And those things, the high school kids working with younger kids mean just as much for the high school kids too. Yes. The younger kids, they look up, and those high school girls or high school boys, if it's baseball, they're rock stars, right?
Yes.
But the high school kids get just as much joy too out of working in that kind of environment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of them aren't cut out to be the little pat on the back type player, but many of them do. If their kid's having a problem, you know, I'll see some of the seniors immediately take this little girl to the side, and you know, if she starts to cry because she missed a ball, you know, it's don't worry, honey, we'll
yeah,
we'll figure this out, and that person will take that kid and work with them one-on-one. So I think it's very fulfilling for both the kids that are involved in the camp,
sure,
bowlers that are actually working the camp.
Yeah,
it works both ways. I think they're both getting a lot out of it. Life lessons,
yep,
as you may say, that the high schoolers are seeing what it's, you know, what it was like. Maybe they didn't have that when they were down there playing rec ball, but now they have that opportunity to work with that younger kid and encourage them to continue to play and to get better at the sport.
Yep. And the cycle continues, and these kids hopefully in 10 years or so will be warriors that are giving back to the youngsters. That's great stuff. Now, we mentioned Shelby, again, one of the top players in the district. And the Goose Eggs are there, 3 straight shutouts. But you know what? You guys are scoring a ton of runs, and she's good, but she's not Superwoman. She's not driving in 15 runs a game. Talk about, you mentioned that you're blessed with several outstanding players. Talk about some of the other players, especially those that are contributing on the offensive side.
Well, on the offensive side, obviously Shelby's one of the tops, but probably the one that's driving the train is Julia Resnick, his sophomore shortstop. Also, she is that sophomore pitcher that we were talking about.
Right.
But she's leading the team in hitting. She's hitting .688 right now after five games. But right behind her is Shelby's hitting .600, batting third. And a number four hitter, Julia Johnson's batting .600, also right behind her. And then I have another sophomore. Now, Julia's a junior and our junior pitcher, to be frank. But we have Hannah Evans is batting .500 behind them, and she's a sophomore. So we've got the team batting is they're hitting over .400 as a team. So it's really easy for me to put together a lineup and give a lot of kids the opportunity. In our varsity game against Albert Galton this past week, I got 15 kids into the varsity game. Mm. 15 that actually played multiple innings.
I was going to ask you, Harry. I mean, it all sounds so good. I was going to ask if you fill out your lineup card at about 3:45, and then maybe take a little 20-25 minute nap, and then you get. I mean, that's how good they're playing.
They are, and as I basically told them, they need to contribute if they want to play. If you're not part of the nine starters and you're on the varsity squad, you've got to show me that, okay, if we go out and put four runs on the board, then you need, when I give you the opportunity, you got to take advantage of that opportunity, because if you don't, then I may wait until we get 8, 9, 10 runs on the board before I consider putting you in the game. And obviously nobody wants that. So I said, if I feel confident enough when we have 4-run lead that you can go in and play defensively, keep the squad competitive, then you'll get more innings. And right now that has been working well. And that way it's a benefit to me too, that if I get that opportunity to play those kids, if we have an injury, then it may not hurt as much that, okay, a kid goes down, who am I going to put in there? Because now I got to take somebody that hasn't seen any innings at all.
Right.
And it might be a critical position and maybe cost us a section win, a section title. I want to get as much playing time to anybody that may see game time up through the playoffs.
Metal sharpens metal. And that's, again, one of the things that makes a program so successful is getting players who maybe aren't in a star role now, getting them some playing time so that when seniors graduate, players come and go, when they graduate, they're ready to step up into that bigger role next year or even 2 years from now. Last week, 20-0, you outscore your two opponents. And what was impressive was it wasn't, a couple of struggling programs. Two of the better teams in your section, Bell Vernon, one of your rivals, as you mentioned, and Albert Gallatin, back-to-back victories this past week. Great to get those games in before the wet weather came. But what really stood out about those dominating performances for your team against both the Leopards and the Colonials?
I would say a combination of excellent fielding. There was no errors in any of the games, and critical hitting in critical situations. They're hitting the ball well. They're hitting it hard. We're not hitting as many home runs as I think everybody thought we would, but we've kind of stressed against that, trying to hit the long ball into hitting line drives and hitting it hard and hitting it square. So we do have five home runs in five games, and Resnick has three of them, but they're not the long ball that you would see. They're actually line drives that just were hit hard enough that they cleared defense and went out of the ballpark. On the other hand, wow. Shelby hits the towering shots that went up as high as they went deep and you're waiting a few seconds to see if it comes down over the fence or not. We've stressed and pushed her to hit more line drives, which she has done. Of course, now she loves hitting the home run, but we're telling her we'd rather see a 600 hitter coming up to the plate than somebody that's going to hit 400 and give us five home runs, because right. her job is to, you know, in that position where she's at, it's to get the RBIs and continue that way and continue that inning for us. And she's bought into that, maybe not as willing as she wanted to, but she has bought into it. And it's obviously shown her batting average is up over 600. So it's a plus.
Hard to argue against a majestic home run though, right?
Oh, well, that's true. You'd love to see that, but I'd rather see it on a line drive and get it out in that split second and say, wow, was that a shot?
Yeah.
And sit there and let the hitter get all the way to second base before you know it's out of the ballpark.
So. Right, because, I mean, depending on whatever ballpark you're playing in, a bigger park, you want a line shot off a fence is better than a fly ball out to the warning track, right?
Exactly. And now, the squads are playing. They know that we can hit. Every squad's been playing us deep.
Sure.
You know, so those kids trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark, you're right. They're just long fly balls that are, they're on the track. They're on the warning track catching them. And now we hit the line drive, and if it gets into a gap, even though they're back on the fence, we're still getting doubles out of them. Or if we have those runners at second and third, we're tagging up, and it's an easy run.
Warriors in first place, a game in front of Belle Vernon, Albert Gallatin, the two teams they beat last week, and also Uniontown. Before we let you go, Harry, I mentioned at the very beginning how tremendous success that this program has had in your time at EF, and especially really in recent years. We're now 5 years, five-year anniversary of that championship run in 2019. Looking back, what's the one thing that really jumps out and sticks out about that that title run?
Probably how strong. I didn't realize how strong and how great Kaylee Larsonese was as a pitcher. You know, she had some couple bats that were helping her, but she was the backbone of this team at that point, and I probably didn't give her enough credit for that run, and was on her because we just demanded so much out of her.
Right.
And looking back, of course, she had some great ball players that were with her.
Sure.
And Cercevic and Panarin and those bats that were there for them. And Smith and Markland, she had a lot of good ball players with her too. But when I look at what I have now versus what I had then, I've got a way more ability to hit a ball and from top to bottom, where Kaylee didn't have the support that Shelby has offensively. So her to contribute what she did, plus she was always going up against partial.
Sure.
Which made it a little tougher on us, being that we were both in the same section.
Right.
So that was kind of a good thing with her. And I think back in her mind too, is that in 18, when we had the game won and we blew it, that didn't sit well with Kaylee. And she basically took that upon herself that 19 was not going to end up the way 18 did. Mm. It gave her that incentive, and that's what I think drove the wagon to where we got to the Whipple Championship and then got to the state tournament game as well. And then from there, I mean, COVID really put a hampering on everything, and it's been just tough for us to get back to those two championship games. Although we've gotten there already and just didn't pull it off, but it's still the incentive this year. Is, you know, last year was the best record we ever had. We were two losses, and they both were in the semifinals. And that's not sitting well with this group of kids. And they're using that as the yeah. that we want them to. We want them to say, okay, you know, they thought last year was a failure, to be honest. But we try to say there's probably 80 other teams, if not more, in this state that would have sure. loved to have that record. And I said, and there's probably only one team, and I'm not even sure that the team that won the state title had the record that you had. You know, they were 20-2. I mean, what do you say? So, and they're doing well. I mean, we made sure that we had tough competition in Florida this year, and they did well there. We did not expect to come home with wins over Spruce Creek and Avonworth, but you know, it worked out that way, and they're just taking advantage of everything.
What better way to celebrate the 50 year anniversary of that championship run than to have another one? We're one of the early teams to beat in Class 4A in the WPIL, no question about it. The Elizabeth Forward Warriors, their outstanding coach, Harry Rutherford, kind enough to join us. Coach Harry, continued health, continued success, and hopefully we do see each other in person at some point this spring.
Okay, Don. Looking forward to it. Thank you. All right.
Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
Harry Rutherford of the Elizabeth Forward Warriors, perfect in the section after two big section victories over Bell Vernon and Elizabeth Forward, perfect overall at 5-0. And again, they have one of the dominant pitchers in the WPIAL in Shelby Delegde, and an outstanding offense. So, whew, man, be forewarned, teams in Class 4A. Let's take a look. Now, we're taping this on Saturday, so if there were some Saturday games that were missing, apologies, but a look at 4A, 3A, 2A, Class A as far as the standings are concerned, and we're getting there. And again, these last 2 weeks weather-wise have not been very fun, but teams are finding ways to get these games in, and if not, they're going to have a lot of games to make up over the next few weeks. So in 4A, Section 1, Knock right now on top by a half game over Indiana. Both teams are clean section-wise. The Knights 3-0, the Little Indians 2-0. EF leading Section 2 by one over Bell Vernon, Albert Gallatin, and Uniontown. And in Section 3, Chartiers Valley and Hampton are even at the top. In Class 3A, Section 1, Deer Lakes up a half game. They're 4-0, the Lancers are. The Borough Bucks, one of their rivals in the AK Valley, they're right behind them at 3-0. Section 2, Mohawk and Central Valley, both are 2-0. Southmoreland having an outstanding season. The Scotties are 7-0 overall. They're 2-0 and alone in first place in 3A Section 3. And in Section 4, South Park leads the way, undefeated in section play at 3-0, one game up on McGuffey, Bronzeville, and Seton LaSalle. 2A, one of the top programs in the district, is the Neshannock Lancers. They are at it again, perfect thus far this season, even right now with Riverside and Laurel. None of those teams have lost a section game, but they've only played a combined five section games. Section 2, it's Sarah Catholic and Apollo Ridge tied for first at 2-0. Yet to lose in Section 3, 2A, Bentworth 3-0. Our Lady of the Sacred Heart is 2-0, and Beth Center is 1-0 with some games to make up. Class A, Section 1, two-time defending champion Union sits atop at 3-0. They are half game up on Southside, and I believe they have the Rams coming up at some point next week. Chartiers, Houston, Carmichael's, and Mapletown have yet to lose a section game in Section 2 Class A and in Section 3. Again, three teams have yet to lose a section game. Jeanette and Frazier are both 2-0. Manesson is 1-0. We'll look at 5A and 6A, the latest as far as the standings are concerned, in our Player of the Week podcast. Again, one of the top players. I won't give it away. It's a 6A school one of the top players in the district who had a big, big week last week, will be joining us. So that'll do it for our softball team of the week podcast. Congratulations to the Elizabeth Forward Warriors. Again, thank you to Coach Harry Rutherford in his 15th season as the coach of the Warriors, doing a marvelous job. Thanks to our producer, Chris Lackner. I'm Don Rebel. Thank you for joining us. Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.